And we are joined in the studio this morning, in the studio, by Fireman Kenny.
Well, good morning, Vic. Good morning to all the listeners. KMG 365, Fireman Kenny's on the air, helping you to stay safe in a world where danger never takes a vacation. And as Rick mentioned, back in the studio, everything is so much better to be back in the studio. For those of you that don't know, when you're doing the interviews, when you're trying to get the visual cues, when Rick's ready to ask a question, for the first part of this, when we were doing it on over the phone, there was a really bad echo. So back in March, April, and May, you could probably hear where Rick is trying to ask a question, and I couldn't hear him. And then it got a little better, and then we got a little bit more in sync with each other. But now it's great to be back in the studio and having Rick here with Rick. It's not it's their show, not just mine.
I appreciate you coming in.
Yeah,
it's good to see you again.
Yeah, thank you. So, as usual, we've got our monthly shout-outs. So, West Bend Fire Department personnel completed their annual 8-hour hazardous materials refresher training that was conducted by emergency response specialists. Thank you to two of our retired personnel, Lieutenant Al Hefter and Lieutenant Don Pyle, who conducted training for 3 consecutive days for our shift personnel and members of the Washington County Hazardous Materials Team. So they are working for ERS after post-retirement. And also thank you to John Shajeski and Brad Cowell from ServPro of North Milwaukee for buying pizzas for lunch for the team for 2 of the days.
Hmm.
Also, thank you to Ginger Knapp and Sam Nolan of Frederick Hospital and Julie Hefter of the Association of Aquatic Professionals for taking the time in May to talk about Trauma Awareness Month, Stroke Awareness Month, and Water Safety Month on WIBD. All 3 interviews were very informative and had great safety tips. 2 more thank yous coming from the Wisconsin State Fire Inspectors Association. So thank you to Fred Ringel for conducting training at the WSFIA Area 6 chapter meeting on May 12th at the Ashapin Fire Department. Fred taught a class on hazardous material storage. Fred is a member of the Wabaca Fire Department and works for Endpoint Solutions. And a final thank you to Randy Routh of Great Lakes Fire Protection. Randy conducting cooking hood fire suppression system training for the Area 1 chapter of WSFIA on May 19th via Zoom.
Let's hear it for those Ansel systems.
Exactly. They're saving lives every day.
So otherwise, the interviews in May, I really appreciated those. And it was interesting to talk, you know, I see how things have changed over the past year and how they're doing things differently than what they were. And again, you know, Julie's big thing is this lifeguard shortage, not just in West Bend, but all over the country.
Right. And so it goes along with all of the first responder shortages, whether it's police officers, firefighters, paramedics, lifeguards, just because a lot of people are not getting into the field. And we need to like promote that just the same way we had a nursing shortage about 10 years ago. Need to start promoting that there are great efforts needed to be in these professions. So like, let's say lifeguards are needed. And I think for like high school and college age kids, it's actually a decent paying job. So it's like one of those things where if we can get people into these professions, that way we can get a little closer to normal where we had and be able to mitigate any disaster or any incident that happens when we have these things happen. So we need to really get the lifeguard promotion, a little bit more promoted for that as a part-time job and then later to be involved in the system.
Now, I saw a headline. I didn't read the story this morning. Didn't have a chance yet. But one of the, I think it was Western Tech over in La Crosse, had their smallest law enforcement graduating class in their history.
Yeah, and it's becoming epidemic proportions. We're going to end up with a shortage during, especially like, let's say during normal times when there's just the day-to-day things, car accidents, any other incidents. But when disaster strikes, so like, I'll use New Orleans as a prime example. New Orleans back in 2006 when Hurricane Katrina hit and there was just chaos. And when you don't have enough first responders and you don't have incident mobilization for additional first responders, things fall apart very quickly. And that's when society falls apart. And that was just a microcosm of an incident that happened. If stuff happens throughout the U.S., you're going to end up not having a well-functioning society. So we really need to address these issues and really get support for public safety and really make things happen. Otherwise, all the things that we take for granted, like let's say having our nice cars, having our nice homes, that can evaporate pretty quickly if we don't take care of the infrastructure in our society.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So do we have some sprinkler saves?
Yeah. So we have our monthly sprinkler saves, although I didn't have any from Wisconsin this month. So that was kind of disappointing that I know that there probably was some, but they just weren't promoted. So monthly sprinkler saves are also known as fires you never hear about because there's no news in something that was stopped from happening. And as I pointed out, I'm an advocate of fire sprinkler systems and a dues-paying member of the National Fire Sprinkler Association, www.nfsa.org. Be sure to follow the National Fire Sprinkler Association on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Okay, so like I said, I don't have any from Wisconsin. Tried to choose two from outside of Wisconsin that showed that there are things that happen that are out of your control and why sprinkler systems are good for you when other people do things that they shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. So our first one is from Clearfield, Pennsylvania. A Clearfield man was arrested after setting off the sprinkler system in a bathroom at the Super 8 Motel early on May 5th. According to Lawrence Township Police, at 2:49 a.m., police responded to an activated smoke alarm at the Super 8 Motel along the Clearfield-Shawville Highway. Upon arrival, police observed water flowing down the hallway from a room which was being rented by Aaron Schmidt, 32, of Clearfield. Lawrence Township Fire Company Number 1 arrived on scene and shut off the sprinkler. Schmidt was in the hotel lobby on the phone, and police told him several times to remove his cat from the room, but he refused. Police then retrieved the cat and handed it to Schmidt while he was in the office. Schmidt then slammed the door on the police officers. When police re-entered the room, Schmidt slammed the cat on the floor and began to fight with the police officers.
Wow.
Yeah, this is you can't make this stuff up. This is why I brought this one up. Upon further investigation, police found a burned piece of paper on the bathroom light that was beside the fire sprinklers. Burned pieces of paper were also found in the water that flooded the hallway. Schmidt was housed in the Clearfield County Jail on attempted arson, criminal mischief, resisting arrest, and other charges. According to Sergeant Julie Curry, Schmidt appeared to be intoxicated at the time of the incident.
No way.
I am shocked and dismayed. I'm beside myself with anger and grief. Yeah. So in here again. So you've got somebody who is not thinking clearly and putting others in danger. If it wasn't for the sprinkler system, who knows how much worse this damage would have been and how many people would have either been injured or killed had they not had that sprinkler system in that motel.
Not to mention the cat.
Exactly. That poor cat. That guy doesn't deserve to have the cat.
No.
Yeah. So, and the second sprinkler save is from Vermont. On the evening of April 25th, 2021, the St. Johnsbury Fire Department responded to the report of a fire at the Canterbury Inn Residential Care Facility in St. Johnsbury. The facility is a wood frame three-story structure, which contained accommodations for approximately 42 residents. Upon arrival, crews found heavy smoke conditions on the first floor and patients were being evacuated from the building. At the time, a second alarm was struck and local ambulance crews were dispatched to begin assisting with relocating patients to local hospitals. St. Johnsbury fire crews quickly made entry to the first floor where they located the fire, which was contained to a laundry room. The fire had been contained to the room of origin by a functioning fire sprinkler system, and the remaining fire was extinguished with a water can fire extinguisher. Only a single head had activated and was keeping the fire from further spread to the building's wood structure above.
Wow.
Yeah. So here again, you have people in a residential care facility aren't particularly always mobile, aren't always able to take care of themselves. So once again, a sprinkler system probably started I couldn't find anything on the story exactly what started it, but in the laundry facility, my guess is a dryer fire. So again, things out of your control that happen in a building that you could be occupying. These sprinkler systems are working and saving lives every day.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. So, it's June, which means the 4th of July is not far away. And, of course, those little roadside stands will start popping up like mushrooms, more than mushrooms this year at any moment. So it's fireworks time.
It is fireworks season. So the American Pyrotechnics Association released their statistics for 2020. So total revenue in 2019 was about $1.4 billion. So display fireworks had $375 million, whereas consumer fireworks sales were $1 billion. Total revenue in 2020 was almost $2 billion, so a little over half a billion dollars more. But display fireworks were down to only $93 million, but consumer fireworks were up to $1.9 billion, so almost double.
Just like we thought was going to be the case.
Exactly. So we ended up, and just like we predicted, so their estimated injuries, just under 10,000 injuries in 2019, almost 16,000 injuries in 2020. So So 2020 is actually the highest numbers of injuries on the APA statistics going back to 1976.
And so for people, just to give a little perspective on this, the reason is so many communities canceled their public displays out of pandemic concerns. And so everybody went out and went nutty and bought truckloads of their own fireworks.
Yeah, exactly. And so just like on the local news showed a aerial cam over City of Milwaukee on July 4th, which City of Milwaukee and all of Milwaukee County had canceled their fireworks. And you could see fireworks going off on every block from this aerial cam footage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So fireworks safety tips. So as we come into fireworks season, just have the following safety tips. One, never allow young children to handle fireworks. Older children should use them only under close adult supervision. Never use fireworks while impaired by drugs or alcohol. And that one should go without saying, but that one, they all seem to go together. You know, hold my beer, watch this. Anyone using fireworks or standing nearby should wear protective eyewear. Never hold lighted fireworks in your hands. Never light them indoors. So we had a number of years ago some teenager who was lighting off fireworks in the house and decided to burn down his half of the duplex and the other half as well. So his parents were, needless to say, a little upset. But never light fireworks indoors. Never do that. Never, never, never. If I'm ever going to give, well, I'm going to give like thousands of tips, but this is one. Please follow. Never light them indoors. Use them only away from people, houses, and flammable material. Never point or throw fireworks at another person, so your Roman candle wars have to stop. Only light one device at a time and maintain a safe distance after lighting. Never ignite devices in a container. Do not try to relight or handle malfunctioning fireworks. Soak both spent and unused fireworks in water for a few hours before discarding. So again, that's to make sure that the water gets in and just wets the powder as well. So that way they could not just dry out and then be useful again. Keep it a bucket of water nearby to fully extinguish fireworks that don't go off in case of the fire. And never use illegal fireworks.
Now, by illegal, we mean the homemade stuff that people tend to make. And also anything that's illegal in the state of Wisconsin, which, again, we should remind people is pretty much anything that lifts up under its own power.
Correct. And also in the city of West Bend. So usually every year I'll read what's not fireworks. But if you look in our code under Chapter 5, we also have we have exceptions to that state code. So like, let's say caps, snakes, any of those spinners, any of the fountains, those are also illegal to use in the city of West Bend. Even though the state statute says those are not fireworks and those are legal to use in the city of West Bend, those are not legal. Also, if you have, so let's say for the legal fireworks displays, the commercial displays, they need a permit from the fire department. You also need $2 million of indemnity insurance. So you need a $2 million bond showing that if you decide to light off those fireworks, you decide to burn something down, at least you're covered for a professional display.
Right.
So again, we're not going to give a permit in a neighborhood. We made that mistake once with a group home that was having their 25th anniversary. And it was in a new construction area, so there was plenty of open space. But things did not go as planned. They did not notify all the neighbors like they were supposed to. The show went later than it was supposed to. The show ended up with more displays than they were allowed.
Oops.
And yeah, it didn't work out well. So we will not be issuing any permits that are, with the exception of the parks that are within the residential neighborhoods. But we will not be issuing permits to you for a fireworks display if you're just going to light it off at the end of your cul-de-sac.
Right. Now, the city fireworks display has been approved for the 4th of July.
Yep, and I haven't been in on the meeting, so I don't know. I believe they're going to allow people in the park again this year, but I don't know that for sure. But thankfully, we did that last year because with the city's fireworks display, even though we couldn't have people in the park, last year, so 2020 was one of the first years that we did not have either a fireworks fire or a fireworks injury. So I claim that one as a success for how much outreach we did. So there were still fireworks being launched. So I think maybe sometimes people got a little lucky. So hopefully having the professional fireworks display is enough to keep some people from using their own fireworks and their own in their own yards.
Right. And that's the display again is at
Riverside.
Riverside?
Yep.
Okay. I couldn't remember which park.
Yep.
But yep. So
yeah, and we can talk about. I'll be on before July 4th. I think the first Tuesday is. I won't be on before that. So yeah. So I'll make sure that we get the people from the city advertise that on WIBD and maybe even come here and talk about fireworks safety during the display.
Well, and I know it was Jess Wilds was in last week, she was on the phone, but we talked briefly about it, and. They said, you know, things are still being finalized, as is the case with pretty much everything that happens in the universe these days.
Right, exactly. So I do have the permit, so I do know that everything's a go. I think they're going to have the old Bartolotta, which is now Wolverine Fireworks. So hopefully we get to see our good friend Rocco Bartolotta again because he does a great display. Safety is number one in his concern. And so it's great. It'll be great to have everybody up and doing that fireworks display again this year.
All right. And... Well, we also apparently have, besides fireworks, we have flammable liquids that are a danger.
Exactly. So as many of you know, I'm on the UW Hospital Burn Board. Burn prevention is often on the agenda at the quarterly meetings. When I talked about the fireworks prevention campaigns, Dr. Angela Gibson advised the board that she treats far more flammable liquid burn injuries than she does fireworks injuries. That being said, there are some summertime flammable liquid safety tips. Never use gasoline or other flammable liquids to start a brush fire or a bonfire. Gasoline vapors are heavier than air. They will ignite around you and burn you. Store gasoline and other flammable and combustible liquids in approved containers. As witnessed in Florida, people were putting gasoline in storage bins, plastic bags, and other unsafe containers. When grilling, never add lighter fluid to coals that are already warm. Any flammable liquid poured onto hot materials can burn back to the container, causing burns, fires, and explosions. Make sure your gas cans have flame arresters installed. The flame arresters will help prevent any heat sources from causing flames to enter the gas can. And last, fuel equipment outdoors has to be cooled down, so liquid fuel spilled on a hot engine could cause the vapors to ignite. So wait till that lawnmower or whatever you're using is a little bit cooler before you start pouring gasoline into it when you need to refill.
And we had a couple of fires over the weekend that were potentially related to this.
Right. And so anytime that you are going to use flammable liquids, definitely use them outdoors. Don't refill in your garage. Don't refill in your house. Don't refuel in your shed. Make sure that you are refueling outdoors. Make sure that engine is a little cooler. So, again, we have fires and injuries every year from these sort of things, not just in the city of West Bend. I mean, nationwide.
Right.
There's if you run the search for those kind of stories, and it's sad because there are so many of these that are preventable. Number of kids at burn camps throughout the U.S. Because they didn't know these tips. Their parents didn't teach them to them. And so we just make sure that you're teaching everybody to fuel these vehicles or fuel these machinery outdoors and wait till they're cooled down to fill them up.
All right. Hey, it's summer storm time, too.
It is. So National Lightning Safety Awareness Week is June 20th to the 26th. According to the National Lightning Safety Council, National Lightning Safety Awareness Week started in 2001 to call attention to this underrated killer. Since then, U.S. lightning fatalities have dropped from about 50 per year to about 30. This reduction in fatalities is largely due to greater awareness of the lightning danger and people seeking safety when there is a thunderstorm threat. So what is lightning? According to the National Weather Service, lightning is a giant spark of electricity in the atmosphere or between the atmosphere and the ground. In the initial stages of development, air acts as an insulator between the positive and negative charges in the cloud and between the cloud and the ground. However, when the differences in the charges becomes too great, this insulating capacity of the air breaks down and there is a rapid discharge of electricity that we know as lightning. Lightning can occur between opposite charges within the thunderstorm cloud, which is the intracloud lightning, or between the opposite charges in the cloud and the ground, or cloud-to-ground lightning. Cloud-to-ground lightning is divided into two different types of flashes depending on the charge in the cloud where the lightning originates. So here's some lightning injury and fatality statistics. For the five-year period from 2015 through 2019, there was an approximate average of 300 people struck by lightning, resulting in an average of 25 lightning strike deaths per year in the United States. The last death in Wisconsin due to lightning was 2016. According to the National Institute of Health, there are 24,000 fatalities worldwide due to lightning and 10 times that number suffering lightning-related injuries. The odds of being struck by lightning are approximately 1 in 1.3 million each year and 1 in about 16,000 over the course of a lifetime.
And that's still a lot better than your odds of winning the lottery.
Exactly. So, you're going to get struck by lightning before you get to win any large amounts of money. So make sure that you're practicing safety when there are storms approaching.
Or scratching off your tickets.
Exactly. So if you got if you got struck by lightning while scratching off your winning ticket, I don't know what the odds of that are. I don't even know if I can do that math. I was told there'd be no math. So All right. So lightning safety tips. Weather.gov has the following tips to keep people safe from lightning. Avoid open areas. Don't be the tallest object in the area. I don't have that problem. I'm just average height. I'm protected by the Americans with Disabilities Act because I'm vertically challenged. Stay away from isolated tall trees, towers, or utility poles. Lightning trends to strike the taller objects in an area. Stay away from metal conductors such as wires or fences. Metal does not attract lightning, but lightning can travel long distances through it. If you are with a group of people spread out, while this actually increases the chance that someone might get struck, it tends to prevent multiple casualties and increases the chance that someone could help if a person is struck. For more information, go to lightningsafetycouncil.org.
I don't know if I ever told you this or not, but when I was living in Poinette, I was living above the radio station, and we had the AM tower that was from here to the hockey arena away from the building. And that would get struck by lightning, pretty much every third storm, which was really cool to watch because, you know, it would dance down the guy wires and all that. And the first time it happened, though, I thought I was going to die.
Yeah, because, and wherever lightning's striking, then, of course, there's obviously a lot of noise that follows that with the thunder and everything like that. So the closer it strikes to you, the louder it's going to be. So then you really have to take precautions when you're near those kind of things.
Yeah,
as well.
But it was really cool to watch.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It looks pretty awesome. But electricity is dangerous. So
yeah, I never decided to take a stroll out to feel it or anything.
Right.
But, I watched it from a safe distance. But it was pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
So, all right. Got some other things coming up in June.
All right. So for June, we've got National Safety Month. Fireworks Safety Month, Men's Health Month, Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month, National Migraine and Headache Awareness Month, PTSD Awareness Month, Trailer Safety Week is June 6th through the 12th, National Nursing Assistance Week is June 17th to the 24th, and National Cancer Survivors Day is June 6th. For July, we've got National Grilling Month, UV Safety Awareness Month, Vehicle Theft Prevention Month. We should really see if we can get Marty from the Sheriff's Department to come in and talk about that. And then National Pet Fire Safety Day is July 15th.
All right. So I still think that July is late for National Grilling Safety Month, but that's just me. I mean, people have started grilling, a month ago.
Yeah, right.
Because it's Wisconsin.
Well, I think, let's say when we talk about these months, let's say we talk about how May is just jam-packed with everything. And the, like, let's say on the West Bend Fire Department Facebook page, every day in May, I had a different post for a different awareness campaign.
Right.
And that didn't cover everything. That just covered anything related to safety or health. Then you get into June, July, and I think what they do is not enough people will put it in an appropriate month. So like, let's say, and we talked about carbon monoxide. So carbon monoxide awareness month should really be in November during the start of the heating
right.
season. For some reason, the National Carbon Monoxide Awareness Association decided to make it April. And so we actually sent them a letter. So from the Fire Inspectors Association and from the fire department, we sent them letters saying, hey, move this to November because make the campaign more fit to where people are going to be thinking about it when the dangers are concerned. So, yeah, the same thing, too. Yeah, really, grilling month should be in June as people start to actually – because May is too jam-packed. We're not going to put it in May. We're going to put it in June. We should put it in June. However, maybe July is good because then people are really in the midst of the middle of summer, and I think that's like July, August may be a peak for grilling because June, you know, you've got your a lot of stuff going on, graduations and everything like that. You got a lot of things to think about. Then July, you can focus on the safety as it comes into like All-Star Weekend, July 4th weekend. So then National Grilling Month, that may actually be a good time to do that in July.
So,
yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me, Rip. KMG 365, Fireman Kenny's returning to quarters.